Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to Fans and the Pros. Deuce McAllister, Zach Strief, Mark Menard on controls tonight. We're with you till 7 o'clock talking through the New Orleans Saints' big matchup this weekend. Jacksonville Jaguars on the road, as well as LSU in Florida. That big showdown tomorrow night. So tons of good football for all of you guys listening in and girls listening in tonight. Deuce, how have you been this week, buddy?
Doing pretty good, Zach.
You doing well?
Yeah, I can't complain.
That's a change.
I am going to complain. I am going to complain, but I can't complain too much. But we've got fall weather, Zach.
It's coming, and we're leaving.
Well, no, it's here. I mean,
Do you feel like this is fall, man?
For New Orleans.
We have different perceptions of
the
weather.
We have lowered the bar on what fall is.
Yes, for New Orleans, yes. I mean, you can walk outside and you don't instantly start sweating.
That's true. It's not instant right now,
yeah,
which is nice.
But
it could be better.
Weather.
I think this weekend it's supposed to come in, right? It's supposed to cool down tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? It's going to be nice for the game tomorrow night.
High in the 70s tomorrow.
High in the 70s, which is appropriate that you and me are leaving.
Correct. And right? we have 86 again.
And it's going to be 86 a game time kickoff for the Saints game in Jacksonville. So that figures. But that's all right, buddy. All right, man. It's a big week. Saints coming off another victory, 3-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as the starter, as they take down the divisional opponent, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, last week. A game that I think we saw, again, the continued development of this football team under Teddy Bridgewater. We saw the offense put on a much better performance, much better on third down, much better in the red zone. And quite honestly, the final score of that game was not indicative of what the game actually looked like on the field. They outplayed that team substantially. It ended up being a one-score game, and yet when you think about that game, it wasn't even close to that.
No, obviously we know that they scored at the end there, and they kick on tight kick. There's an opportunity, but at the end of the day, the Saints dominated that game, and really you could tell, I guess, mid to late third quarter to fourth quarter, it became all pass rush. It became – I am getting to the quarterback. I don't really have to worry about the run. They have no choice but to throw the football. And the Saints defensive line, I thought they did a really, really good job of getting after the quarterback. And, hats off to Coach Ryan Nielsen, Coach Dennis Allen, and Bryant Young for the job that they have done, not only from a collective group, but an individual job. And you see the development. I mean, we were telling people, Marcus Davenport, well, he's not playing as bad as you think. Well, he only has one sack. I'm telling you, even before that game, I think it was two games ago, you talked about how he was second in the NFL as far as pressures are concerned. If he continues on the same pace that he's on currently, counting this past game, I think he'll have like 96 pressures.
He's into the 90s, yeah.
It would be like 96 pressures, which is unheard of.
Well, to give you a little bit of an idea of something that you've seen, Cam Jordan has one season in the 80s.
Right.
Right? Year he got to the 80s, and you're right, I think Mark is on pace for 96 right now. He actually leads Cam Jordan by one pressure.
Yeah, and so it's a work in progress. And yep. Even he'll tell you that he's not complete. I mean, but you saw early on some of the things and the techniques that he was using. Now, they were not sacks. He couldn't turn them into sacks, but he was getting the pressures. And then last game, he was able to come up with the two sacks. And I think even he'll tell you it was a collective effort. One sack, it was all him. Because it was
ugly, dude. Yeah, just say it was ugly.
And I told you when Lord. I saw it, ooh, that's one of the ones where you just look at, ooh, you're glad it's not you. And there were a couple moments where there were a couple ooh, type of plays from the Saints. So, kudos to them, hats off to them. But I think this opponent this week, the Jaguars, is a formidable opponent for a lot of different reasons when you look at it, whether you're talking offensively or defensively, some things that they're going to have to do. And if they don't do them well, it could, you know, lead to a loss for the Saints team.
Yeah, and you look at this Jacksonville team, I think the fact that the Saints' defensive line is not only playing so well, but is also so deep right now. Right. You look last week, they dressed 8 defensive linemen. All of them saw game time. If you really listed them 1 to 8, you'd probably put Carl Granderson at number 8. He had a sack in that game. So they're going to need that this week. You're going to Jacksonville. It's a football team that likes to run the football. They're good at running the football. Leonard Fournette probably having his best season to date right now. Early in the year still, but he's averaging 5.4 a carry. He's getting the rock a lot of 512 yards on the ground.
They're going to give it to him. I mean,
he's getting the football, right? Yeah. He's getting the football in this game. Here's what I think is interesting, and this is why I think the Saints are a very tough matchup for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Leonard Fournette's a big back, big physical guy, right? Can run, big physical back. This season, 512 yards rushing, 389 of those coming in the second half. This is a football team that wears you down.
He's wearing people out.
Yeah.
You know, for him, look, I love Leonard. I saw him a couple times this offseason, you know, and I tell him all the time, even though I knew he was playing, hey, look, man, stay focused. You know, for you, the sky's the limit. What's held him back outside of, you know, the brush-ups with Coach, with Coughlin and Doug Marrone has been injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even started this year a little banged up, but it looks like he's healthy now. And I'm going to tell you, man, I met Leonard, and he was in the 8th grade. I was still playing in the league. It's like, that kid's going, you know, that kid's going to high school now?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he plays over. He's going to be a Purple Knight, you know, at St. Augustine. I was like, man, that kid my size right now, you know, he 210, 215. In 9th grade, you know, going into the 9th grade, and I told Leonard then, and I'll tell him now, if he controls his weight and if he stays healthy, man, they don't want to see, you know, 25 times. They don't want to see it. And you're going to have your hands full this weekend.
Absolutely. As will the Saints are going to have their hands full. Jacksonville's going to have their hands full. I think it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be a physical game down there. All right, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. What's the key to beating Jacksonville this week? Stop the run. Force Gardner Minshew to make some mistakes, run the football offensively, or win on third down. You can text us 870-870 what you think about that. When Deuce and I come back, we'll start going through this roster, take a look at the matchups as we do every week. This is Fans and the Pros on WWL. Rolling, Deuce. The Saints are rolling.
That's the only part of the song I knew, too.
You were waiting for that, huh? Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. That's Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst, Jacksonville native. Band was formed in Jacksonville. Kind of started a genre for a little while there, Deuce. This whole, like, metal rap thing took off for a little while. You remember that?
We call it metal.
You were in college. Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Right. You were in college. I was in high school, I know.
Yeah. You just jumping around. And just, man. Yeah.
They're freaking you out.
Yeah.
Deuce is worn out by that song. He feels physically assaulted right now. He's overwhelmed.
He needs a nap one minute into this song.
He does.
That's a workout for you.
All right. If you're new to the show, every week we play music from the city that we're headed to. That's what the Saints do. That's what Deuce and I do. I don't know that one would have made the playlist this week. A lot of the ones we pick aren't going to make the playlist every week in practice, but we don't have to practice.
If Fast Fred is playing that, you know something is wrong. The guys are looking at it like, man, what is that, man? Just go and do your job.
Really what happens is that everyone turns and boos. Boo.
Well, yeah, but this is the second week in a row where there ain't much to work with.
No, that's not true, Mark.
Well, I mean, in terms of, like, what you would normally play at practice.
Listen, yeah, there's not a lot that we would ever play at practice. That's a good point.
Correct.
Okay, that's a good point. There is actually some great music from Jacksonville. Some great music, and we're going to hit it. This is like the classic rock capital of the world. Jacksonville was real hot there for, like 15 years in the late 60s, early 70s.
Like the Seattle scene in the 90s, it was the Jacksonville scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's lesser known, but it was there. We're going to get to some good stuff for all you classic rock fans out there. I don't want 200 texts that say Leonard Skinner's from Jacksonville. I get it. I know. He's coming, I promise. They're coming.
I can dig that.
Don't tell me you think Leonard Skinner is one person.
Sorry. All right, so Deuce, listen, let's talk about the quarterback position. We usually lead off with this every week. Teddy Bridgewater obviously makes a big jump last week, right? 26 of 34, 315, four touchdowns. Had the interception on the tip ball to Ted Ginn. But I think more importantly, more than anything, we saw him on time with more throws. We saw him, I think, more decisive. I think he knew where he wanted to go with the football, and he made some really good accurate passes. And it was certainly nice to see Teddy Bridgewater kind of get his stride and really move this ball offensively like Saints fans are accustomed to.
And a lot of that is what we have seen not only during practice as far as training camp, but that's OTA work when Drew wouldn't be there or he would just get a consistent rep. You know, we talked about this earlier that when you're the number two quarterback or the number three quarterback, you're not getting reps in this offense during the season. And so You see him get a little more comfortable. You see him be able to hit some of his targets. And, you know, hopefully that's something that he can continue to have. I think the biggest thing with Teddy was just confidence. I don't think it was anything to do with, you know, throwing accuracy, his motion, not trusting it. It was just going out there and having the confidence that he could do what he's done in the past, you know, not anything to do with the health of as far as his knee is concerned, but just going out there and having confidence and control of the offense.
Yep, and what also I find kind of interesting is Teddy's doing a good job throwing the football, but the Saints aren't going to stop there, right? We can't have one guy throw the football in a game. We got to have three people throw footballs in a game, and that's what the Saints saw last week. And, you know, there was some news coming out today, Deuce, and listen – this is, we'll call it WWL breaking news, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz, and that's Alvin Kamara listed as questionable for the game this weekend. Suffered an ankle injury, it seems, in practice this week, and is currently listed as questionable. He was the third guy that threw a pass last week. Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, two guys we've grown accustomed to, and yet now this new wrinkle with Alvin Kamara. And losing Alvin Kamara for this game, for any game, would be a big deal for this offense. He's played a huge role every week.
It would be a big blow for him just because of his versatility. And so, you know, we'll really see how he feels Sunday. You know, right now when you follow the lines, he was limited participant yesterday. I don't think he practiced at all today is my understanding. So how he works out pregame will really determine if he can go or if he can't go. Also, if they bring anybody up, you know, from the practice squad, because right now it's Latavius Murray and Dwayne Washington. And so, okay, do we have anybody that we can bring up from the practice squad that can help us? That would be the next step. And that would also be an indicator that they don't think that Alvin would be able to go. And so what's interesting is when you talk about Alvin, how do we make up those yards? How do we make up his contributions? What can we do from an offensive standpoint? You know, Sean likes to use his personnel. He likes to be able to match personnels. So what you see more is Taysom, you know, and right now Taysom's your number two quarterback. So you don't want him to get in a situation where he can't go. The other part of it would be Zach Lyon being a little more involved offensively. You know, I know we had a caller about 2 weeks ago that told us Zach needs to be involved. That may be the case this week.
Listen, I went to Zach. I said, Zach, you got to hear this. And even Zach was like, yeah, he might have been thinking about somebody else. I said, listen, I need you to go out and make some plays this weekend so I could get a call back on that, because I'm all for the fullback getting some action. And you remember in that game, he had a catch in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And he turned, and he almost fell down when he turned. And I told him after the game, I said, you were thinking in your head, I'm housing this, right? Like, I'm going to make a play.
Right, right, right.
Because I had just told you that somebody, you know, had pointed you out as, you know, the missing piece on the offense. He got a kick out of it. He is, though, I'll tell you this, he is a punishing lead blocker, good as there is in football.
We saw it on the 4th-and-1. I mean, I told you right then, he took two. You know, Alvin was able to go to the left, and he picked up 6 yards. But on that 4th-and-1 run, I guess that was a fourth quarter there, he took two. Yeah. I mean, he was able to take two guys out with his blocking. So he's been able to punish people. But he would be the other option as far as whether you're talking about running the football, blocking guy. you know, if Alvin isn't able to go, you know, obviously the first guy would be Murray. That's who would get the bulk of the work. Then it would be Dwayne Washington. And then, you know, whether it's passing or running situations, maybe not out of – I would probably say more so out of single back. That's where, you know, that's where he would come into play.
Yeah.
And that being Zach Line for the people that are texting, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, another place the Saints could look if you're losing that production – to place that Sean Payton has mentioned before, and that's Deontay Harris, and yep. Getting Deontay more involved in this offense, handing him the ball off on a reverse or on a jet sweep, or getting him a screen. And getting him the ball. You know, the difference is you can't manipulate personnel groupings with Deontay Harris. Deontay Harris comes in, he's a wide receiver. Alvin Kamara comes in, teams are like, we can't put one linebacker on the field,
yep.
Right? And yet, you know, that's what makes him so hard for people to defend. And you're really not getting that with either of your other backs.
Nope.
You're not getting it with Latavius. You're not getting it with Dwayne. As a matter of fact, Dwayne Washington's probably biggest weakness is catching the football out of the backfield.
Well, he's a true tailback. I mean,
right.
If Dwayne's in the game, I'm going pier 4-3, you know, three linebackers in, you know, depending on down and distance with Latavius Murray, I'm normally going to match him with a 4-3. I may go nickel personnel a little bit, but, you know, with Alvin in the game, I am going nickel. I am not going 4-3 defense, regardless of down and distance. And so that's what he gives you. And when you talk about having Deontay Harris in there, even if he lines up in the backfield, he's going to see nickel defense. I mean, because they're treating him as a receiver.
Right.
If you do hand him the ball to run the ball, they feel like that, hey, look, you know, our linebackers are fast enough and quick enough. We can get to him. They're not expecting him to be at 6 yards, toes at six type of tailback. That's not what they're looking for.
Yeah. You know, listen, there's no question. You don't want to lose Alvin Kamara. We are not saying that that's happening. We're saying that something happened during practice this week. He got nicked up. It could be as small as, hey, he tweaked it a little bit. Let's give him some rest. Give him a couple days, right? Get it as good as it can be. Let's tape it up and roll. Because quite honestly, just having Alvin Kamara on the field, even at 70%, even if he's not getting the yards, his presence allows you to manipulate what a defense is able to do. And I think that's in this offense with this, you know, with Sean Payton calling the plays is as valuable as the actual production you're getting out of him.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, even if he's not able to go 100%, his presence alone, hey, look, you're going to be somewhat of a decoy. I'm not calling you a decoy, but that's what you will be. But your presence alone will pull that nickel corner. You will more than likely pull that safety. His presence alone will draw the attention, even if he's not getting the touches. I mean, look, he's been getting, what, about 20 to 22 touches a game somewhere,
yep.
In there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you'll have 10 this week. So that workload is cut in half in itself. But even to have him out there, his presence, defenses have to account for it.
One of the good things about a guy like Dwayne Washington is Dwayne is a guy that is a special teams contributor. He's up during the weeks, right? He's been active. He's playing in the games. He's covering kicks for you. So you don't have to, like, you're not having to drop another player off the roster to bring up an extra, right? So you're already in a good situation from that standpoint. And what we're saying by that is, you know, you only get 45 guys active on game day, 46 with a third quarterback, which is a kind of a different deal, right? But when you bring that guy up, if you're only carrying two running backs into the week or three, and a guy gets hurt and you got to bring an extra guy at that position up just in case or to take on an extra workload, that other player has to come away from somewhere else.
Right.
And in a game like this, you look at, you know, where does the team go into games with a lot of players? It's the defensive line.
Well, right now, but here we know three guys are out already. Of these seven guys that you have to have down, Drew is down. Traquan is down, and Trey Hendricks is down. The only questionable, obviously, is AK. So, for the Saints, the past 2 weeks, the eight defensive linemen that they have carried, the one that didn't, the flip-flop, or the guy that didn't get carried was Mario Edwards against Dallas. Mario Edwards,
right.
Jr., he was down that game. But it's been Marcus Davenport, Malcolm Brown, Sheldon Rankins, Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Shai Tuttle, Carl Granderson, and like I said, Mario Edwards has been the guy that they have carried the last 2 weeks. And really, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, we saw him at defensive end. Was that 2 weeks ago?
Last week, you talking about that Mario? That was this past week.
That was this past. That was the first time that we have saw him at defense. Right. My weeks are confusing myself here, but it happens.
It happens.
Yeah, Mario. That was his first time playing defensive end. Pretty much, we didn't see him line up there at camp, and that may have been because Sheldon was down. But this was his first game lining up at end. He's been inside, and we know he has the versatility to play inside and out. But what the Saints have done, they said, okay, since we're carrying eight defensive linemen, Carl Granderson, you may have to play a little special teams. He's versatile enough where he can play some special teams. And when I say that, maybe it's kickoff coverage, kick and run. He can do that. Maybe it's kickoff as return. And then maybe even, you know, you'll be a backup guy on punt. But he has versatility from that defensive line room where they can carry a player like he. And so they have some options there. But when you go into the game, you look at the matchup. What do the Jaguars like to do? Run the football. So you would think, all right, not that it's crazy, crazy hot, but we like our depth. We like the rotation that we have. Let's make sure that we keep those eight defensive linemen so we can keep them fresh. So we get to the fourth quarter where Leonard Fournette has had most of his yardage come in the second half.
Right.
We're fresh and, you know, we're ready to go.
I think that's what they're going to do. They got to keep eight active for this after last week, right? And it's already kind of proven itself. And where they're really going thin is at linebacker, taking one off there, you know, at the linebacker position, and which makes sense anymore because you don't play a ton of the game with three linebackers on the field anymore. You just don't. Now, you might in this game.
Oh, I think, yeah, Kiko Alonso, his snaps will be up. You know, but what was interesting this past week, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had his highest amount of snaps, and it was in – pretty much a dime look, you know. Yep. Traditionally, they've played with not P. Rob, but P. J. Williams in at regular nickel, but they went with big dime or big nickel, and it was Chauncey Gardner. And you know, they like to do that when you got maybe a team that relies heavy on two tight ends that can really catch. So you know, that may be in the works again this week, but. He had his highest amount of snaps. But, you know, this would be a game I wouldn't be surprised for them to play a lot of big nickel and or a lot of 4-3.
And I'll tell you this, they were really happy with how CJ played in that football game. Was a game ball winner this past week and really, I think, played at a high level. You know, I think he was a guy that played up to that task, and that's promising to see if you're a Saints fan, to see another young guy coming along, playing well, and kind of learning the ropes a little bit. When we come back, we're going to get into this Saints offensive line. Big matchup this week, Jacksonville, or Saxonville, as they once were known as, 2017, right? But they're kind of turning it around again this year, 9 sacks against the Tennessee Titans. So we'll talk about that matchup and how the Saints stack up there when we come back. You're listening to Fans and the Pros on WWL.
Duval.
You like that more?
You see Mark cut it off early.
No, he didn't cut it off early. He's waiting for me to turn my mic on. He's doing a great job like usual. It's good, right? You want him to turn it back up?
Turn it back up and hit repeat.
Dude, how long we got? This is a 6-minute song. We got so just let it play. We can get it all in.
I said, what happened to sports talk? Oh, they went on break.
They listened to that song.
Yeah.
It's the Allman Brothers. Statesboro Blues. That's a tongue twister for me. Statesboro Blues. Did it again. Statesboro Blues. There we go.
Spoken like a true brewer. You just can't get it out of your mind.
Yeah. That's a good one now. The Allman Brothers, boy. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good stuff coming for all you classic rock fans out there. And that is a good one. All right, welcome back to Fans and the Pros. And before we left, we started talking, or I just introduced, we were going to talk about the Saints offensive line, who's going to have their hands full this week in Jacksonville. Quite honestly, it's an extremely talented front in Jacksonville. This is one of those games where I go, man, that was a really good decision when I just retired. Not that I wasn't going to get fired soon, because I probably was, because I had Ryan Ramczyk standing behind me.
He was breathing down your throat.
Yeah, well, listen, I knew, right? I
mean, I'm not an idiot. Breathing down your throat, Nick. You see me? I'm coming.
I'm slow. I'm not stupid, Deuce. let me get out of here before they just fire me. But it's a good group. The Jacksonville Jags defense, You know, you look across the ball there, Calais Campbell, who really has been, I'll tell you what, he's like an ageless wonder at this point. He's one of two active players in the NFL with at least 5 sacks in 10 consecutive seasons. Has 3 sacks already this season. Has had 2 big years in Jacksonville already, 14.5 and 12 sacks. He's been really good. You know, second in tackles for loss since he entered the NFL, just behind J.J. Watt. So, excellent football player, Calais Campbell. You're going to see him at defensive end and base. You're going to see him move inside in the nickel, so he's going to get spread around a good amount. You got Yannick Ngakoue, a talented fourth-year defensive end out of Maryland. He's had a couple of big seasons, kind of.
And I was hoping he still holding out and mad, and y'all don't want to pay me, but yeah. He came on to work, and he just said, I'm going to prove it to you how good I am, and it looks like he's rounding in the form.
Yep.
Right when we play him.
Of course. You got the young buck, Josh Allen, mm-hmm. 7th overall pick out of Kentucky, who's already got 3 sacks on the season, had an excellent preseason, a pretty solid two-way defensive end, is good against the run, is talented in the pass rush. All of these guys have forced fumbles already this year. They're all talented guys. You got Marcell Dareus inside, who has not been as productive, but that's a defensive tackle with a 10-sack season
right.
on his resume. And obviously Doug Marone was with him up in Buffalo. And brought him down when there was issues up there. So it really is. It's a talented group, and it's quite honestly, it's a pass rushing group.
Well, and that, when you say pass rushing group, that kind of explains the 5 yards per carry. I mean, because they are way too talented of a group to give up that many yards. But
yeah.
I don't know if they're 100% trying to stop the run.
Right.
You know, I think they want to get to the quarterback. They want to rush the passer. And so, and obviously I think that number's inflated a little bit because Carolina hit them for a couple big runs. But, man, there is some talent on that D-line.
They went from 31st to 32nd. Right? Now, yeah, they gave up 285 yards on the ground last week to Carolina. But it's not a group. And they were like that last year.
Right.
It's the second year in a row that they have not been able to stop the run. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. I think you have guys that are talented pass rushers. I think all those guys are capable of playing the run. I just don't know how interested they are in it.
Well, and a team has to be committed to running the football. I mean, because if you're going to sit back there and throw the ball 40 times and you're going to try to block that group, good luck.
That's a long day. You know what I mean?
You're not helping the offensive line out a lot.
No, you're not. You're giving me, like, bad flashbacks.
I'm just telling you. I mean,
it's like when we used to go and play Tampa Bay, right? Whole D-line, pass rusher. It's like 4 DNs,
mm-hmm.
right? Every one of them, pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher. We come out and throw 6 times, empty backfield, 5 or 6. I mean, you talk about – I once watched John Stinchcomb flip over a giant fan on the sideline, just kind of cross-checked. They just couldn't take it anymore.
You have this little glare and this look that you look over there to the sideline, and it's not a wonder if he sees you. You know he sees you, and then he tells you he's got some choice words. You and back in the huddle over there. Yeah. I mean, but you know that's the game with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, all you really want to do is win. And usually, when Drew Brees is your quarterback, throwing the football leads to win, so you just kind of grit your teeth and take it. But, you know, again, you look at this group and you say, so we're playing a football team that is going to try to wear us down defensively,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how they're built. That's what they're designed to do. They've been very good on first down, second in the National Football League on first down. So they're getting into situations where on second and third, they're still able to run the football, right? So that's going to take its toll on a team. In games like that, offensively on the other side of the ball, what you're trying to do is possess that. Possess it. Hold on to that football. Let your defense get a break. Let them run 55, 60 plays in that game with that rotation, and you're going to have a much easier time, you know, as the game goes down. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. You're listening to Fans and the Pros on WWL. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the other side of the football. Take a look at this Minshew mania that's taken over Duval County in Florida. We'll talk about that young rookie as well as Leonard Fournette, that offensive line, and the challenges they'll bring. More Fans and the Pros when we come back here on WWO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.